Give thanks to Almighty God, for He is great and He is wonderful, and it's His grace that has carried us through this year. And truly we can say God has been good and He's great and greatly to be praised. And without Him we can do nothing. And we can rejoice and celebrate in His love, in His mercy, and also in His goodness. Amen. It's great to see each and every one of you. Pray that the Lord will bless you and be with you in a special way. I take this opportunity of thanking Mike for the privilege to preach the Word of God to you this morning. And this morning my text is taken from Luke chapter 1. And verse number 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can these things be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now a sixth month for her, for who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, and let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. May God bless the reading of his word. This morning I'm going to speak on the subject vision, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And even previously I just spoken on Martha. And another thing that came to my mind while we're praying for the world today, that we need to know that Israel and Jerusalem will be restored. And how I know that, because the Bible says so. And even Jesus, when he prayed for Jerusalem, he called Jerusalem two times. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And last time I spoke about Martha, and who was called to be one of the greatest women in the Bible. And any person that leads a person to Christ and reconnects that person to Christ is a great person. And that is the vision that God gave to Martha. And I believe that God has something great for each and every one of you. There's greatness in you, there is purpose in you, and there is calling in your life that God has purposed and ordained for you as an individual person. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is venerated by most of the Christian world, and especially amongst the Catholics. And she was not chosen for herself the role of giving birth to the Savior. Rather, she was chosen by God for a sacred purpose. Mary is understood to be both the physical and the spiritual carrier of Jesus. This spiritual carrier, that she gave birth to Jesus, she carried Jesus for 9 months. And the spiritual carrier is that she became a believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ. When on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon her, it was the same Spirit that came upon her when she gave birth to Jesus. So she was a spiritual and a physical carrier of Jesus. We see firstly, number one, that Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. She was chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. Out of all the young women at the time, she was handpicked by God Himself. On the surface, Mary appeared to be just like all the other women in the community. She lived a simple life. She came from an ordinary place, and nothing about the outward circumstances suggests that one day she'll carry the Savior of the world. Yet, there was something special about Mary, and God saw the uniqueness and the specialness that she purposed in her life. We see that God knew her heart, He knew her faith, He knew her humility and a willingness to say yes, even when the assignment seems impossible. And just as God chosen Mary, God has also chosen you for a specific task. Remember, you know the scripture that the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was already prepared to come into the world. So we see that before the foundation of the world, God assigned this woman, Mary, to be the carrier of Jesus. Before the very foundation of the world, he ordained this woman to be the carrier of Jesus. So we see in the heart of God, Mary was chosen for this divine task. She was chosen for this specific task. She was chosen by God Himself. And this is why this morning, you are no accident. Your life is not a mistake. Before you were born, you are designed with a purpose and intention. You are called by God and you are chosen by God. Out of all the millions of people, God has handpicked you. And you are special and you are unique and you are great in the eyes of Almighty God. And this is why Jesus said to the disciples in John 15, He said, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. I have ordained you that you should go bear forth fruit and your fruit shall remain. So God has chosen you. Even before the foundation of the world, you are chosen by God. You are handpicked by God and you are special by God. Before you were born, He had designed you with purpose and intention. He shaped you with personalities, with gifts, with strengths, and even your struggles, because it plays a special part in your calling that God has purposed in your life, even through the pain and the suffering. God has chosen you. This is why David said, when I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even through the difficult times that we face, even the difficult circumstances we face this year, God has chosen you and He's with you. He's always there with you. So sometimes you may feel ordinary times and wonder if you're truly capable of doing something meaningful, but God sees what you cannot see. Mary did not know that she'll be the carrier of Jesus. God did not come and speak to her. Only one day when she was engaged, then the angel of Gabriel came and spoke to her. It happened just overnight. Something divine, something miraculously God ordained in her life. So you may not see anything special, anything unique, anything powerful about your life, but you are extraordinary. Because Jesus said, the Bible said that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus said in John 1 verse 12, to many have received Him, He has given us the power to become children of God. You are the children of the Most High God. There's something unique, there's something special, there's something powerful about your life. So you're just not an ordinary person just sitting in the church or just living on a day-to-day basis. You are something special and something unique about your life. And we see that in Mary, God has chosen her and He has ordained her for something powerful, to be the carrier of the Savior of the world. So when you look at your life is meaningful. You may not see the greatness. Mary have not seen the greatness. She was just like the other woman. God saw that greatness and He has that greatness in call for you. When God handpicks someone, It's not because they're powerful or they're perfect in the standards of the world, because he delights in using willing hearts. Mary's story reminds us that God can work through anyone who trusts in him. And this is same for you. You are a purpose of destiny. You are a person of calling. You're a person that God has deigned something great for your life. The assignment that God has for your life is unique, and no one else can walk in it but you yourself. Even when you feel overlooked and unnoticed, heaven has already recognized you. Heaven gives you the authority. Heaven's favor is upon your life. God has already equipped you. He has already prepared your path. Your uniqueness is not flawed. It is divine design. Your life matters. Your calling matters. Your story will bring glory to God in ways that you fully cannot understand or fathom yourself. So when you look at your life, you are chosen, your family is chosen, this church is chosen. We are chosen by God for a specific time and a specific purpose, that his name will be glorified. You are handpicked, you are special, unique, created for a purpose. So we need to trust God just like Mary and watch him do the extraordinary work through the ordinary life that we live. So we need to trust God and believe that he is able to do that which he purposed in your life. So we see the next thing, the angel of the Lord said to Mary. Mary said, how can these things, when the angel said, you're going to give birth and give birth to the Savior of the world. So Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? You see, that's the problem with the people which we need to, when encountering God, when God gives you an extraordinary task, we're looking for man to help us. Because Mary knew that she needed a man to fulfill the vision that God has spoken to her. Remember in John chapter 5, we find that this man sitting at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the moving of the water. And what happened? That when Jesus came to him and Jesus came to this man and said to this man, do you want to be made well? But the man said, I have no one to help me to put me into the water. So this man was waiting for 38 years for someone to help him to put him in the water. So this man could have learned his lesson not to trust in man, not to put his faith in man, not to hold on to man, not to look to the promise of man, but look to the promise of God and look to the promise of the Savior, because he is the one who's going to fulfill the vision that he's purposed in your life. Because Mary said, how can these things be, since I do not know a man? And the angel of the Lord said, the power of the highest will come upon you and you will conceive. In that moment, God made it clear that Mary was not expected to accomplish the divine task in her own strength. What was impossible for her was completely possible with God. And it will be fulfilled through the power of his Spirit and the supernatural help from divine help from God himself. The same applies to us. When God gives you a task, when God gives you a purpose, when God gives you a calling, whatever God has assigned you, no matter how big it is or how intimidating it is or how impossible it might seem, he will give you the power to carry out that task. He will give you the power to carry out that vision that God has placed in your life. God never calls you to do something and then leaves you to figure it out by yourself. When he gives you a vision, he'll provide you the strength to fulfill that vision. He'll provide you that help to fulfill that function, that he purpose in your life. When God gives you a dream, he will supply the resources. When he opens a door, he'll equip you to walk through it. So God is a God of power and a God of all authority. He will empower you. This is why on the day of Pentecost, he said, you will receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, even unto the ends of the age. God will give you the power to carry out the assignment that he purposed in your life. And this is why God used ordinary men in extraordinary way, because the power of the highest came upon their lives. And the same thing, you can do extraordinary works for God when God's power comes upon your life. So when you feel unqualified and overwhelmed, when you look at your own ability, think, how can this be? But the task that God gives you is not dependent on limited strength. It's dependent upon limitless power. It depends on Almighty God. And this is why David said in Psalm 62 verse 11, God has spoken once and twice of her that power belongs to God. God has spoken once, twice of her that power belongs to God. So he'll empower you. Remember the same angel came to Zechariah and said, your wife is going to have a child in the old age. And Zechariah said, how can these things be? And he said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. Now the same angel comes 6 months later and said to Mary, you're going to have a child. And Mary said, how can these things be? He said, the power of the highest will come upon you. And he said, for good God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So yet this angel said to Gabriel, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, nothing is impossible. In my presence, in your presence, it may be impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible, God. In the presence of God, nothing is impossible, God. What Gabriel was trying to say, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. In the presence of God, I saw how God created the heavens and the earth. I saw God how he parted the Red Sea. I saw how God delivered the three boys from the fiery furnace. I saw God how he delivered Daniel from the lion's den. I saw God doing countless miracles time after time and time again. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. With God, nothing is impossible, God. And the same angel came to Mary and said, with God, nothing is impossible, God. And he said, and I believe that God is trying to say to you, no matter what situation you may be facing sickness, you may be facing lack, you may be facing poverty, you may be facing difficulty, you may be facing family situation. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible, God. And this is why we need to get hooked in the presence of God. When we're hooked in the presence of God, nothing is impossible. You see, in his presence, why the devil doesn't want you to pray, to seek the face of God? Because he knows in the presence of God, nothing is impossible. That is why the first thing he did, he made Adam and Eve sin from being in the presence of God, because when they were in the presence of God, nothing was impossible for them. And it's only the enemy that distracts you from being in the presence of God. And yet the same angel comes to Mary. He's saying, nothing is impossible with you. Whatever your situation is, nothing is impossible, God. It may be nothing is impossible, God. Because Jeremiah said, our Lord God, you have created the heavens and the earth. And he said, nothing is impossible with him. What's your situation this morning? Nothing is impossible, God. Look at Jesus on the cross. When he was hanged on the cross and his body torn apart, the Bible says on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Nothing is impossible with the God that you serve. And what is our situation? Nothing is impossible with God. In both these encounters, Gabriel is saying he stands in the presence of God and he's declaring to the church and declaring to us, he's declaring to me, he's declaring to you, he's declaring to your family, he's declaring to this ministry, nothing is impossible, God. God has given you a task. Don't look at man to help you. Nothing is impossible, God. You are not alone in your calling. God has empowered you. He'll guide you, sustain you every way, every step of the way. The vision that he has given you will come to pass with his power for his glory. Because in his presence, nothing is impossible, God. I said, my mom is going to be 80 years in January. And on the 9th of December, she did something that seems impossible. She cooked for 50 people, and she cooked 9 dishes, and she did it in 3.5 hours, and it was the hottest day in South Africa on that particular day, and she takes about 12 medications a day. What I'm trying to say, don't look at your situation, don't look at your age, don't look at what you're going through. The Bible says, with God, nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is impossible with Him. This Christmas is a time of nothing is impossible, God. You know why I say nothing is impossible, God? I distract from my message. Because when you look at the birth of Jesus, Jesus was born, He was born the supernatural. Do you know that? The supernatural was born. Remember, we miss the season of Christmas. We wait for New Year's to come. But during this time of the season, Jesus was born. The supernatural was born. So I believe in this season, God wants to birth forth something supernatural in your life. Something supernatural in your finances, something supernatural in your marriage, something supernatural in your home, something supernatural in this ministry. He wants to birth forth something supernatural in your life. So during this time of Christmas, we must expect God to birth forth something supernatural. Remember the wise men, what they saw when they came to Jerusalem, when they came to Bethlehem. They saw this divine light. This light led them to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. It was during this time of Christmas. So God gave these wise men what He gave them. He gave them divine light and divine guidance. They came from the east, and every step they took, they followed the star. They followed the star. The star led the way for them, which means that God gave them divine guidance during this time of Christmas. So we as a church, you as a person, can expect, you may be struggling and do not know what to do, where to go. God, by His Spirit, He can give you divine guidance and divine direction. Remember the shepherds, they're watching the flock by night. What happened? They had a divine intervention of the angels of God coming to them and said, today is born the Savior. So which means we can experience angelic visitation during this time of Christmas. Something supernatural needs to be born. Something supernatural can be birthed for in this time, in this season. Remember Joseph, when after Jesus was born, God gave him a dream and said, take your child and go to Egypt. God gave him the divine dream. He gave him a divine encounter. What happened? So we must expect divine things to happen during this Christmas. But what's happening, we get so caught up in the things of Christmas, in the things of the world, and we miss the true meaning of who Jesus is. And this is why we miss the divine, we miss the supernatural, we miss the impossible. And this is why the angel of the Lord said to Mary, nothing is impossible, God. So we must experience this in our life. This is a time where God wants to birth these supernatural things. Don't wait for another season. This is the time He wants to birth these supernatural things in our lives. The third thing is, the vision is for appointed time. When God gives you a vision, a dream, a word, it does not always come to pass immediately. Even Mary, after receiving the message from the angel, she had to wait. She had to carry the promise of Jesus for 9 months before the world saw its fulfillment. And during the waiting season, nothing on the outside looked miraculous. Mary still looked like an ordinary woman going about a daily life, a daily living. But inside her, she was carrying a divine promise developing on the inside. Inside there was a divine presence, the divine Son of God. Inside she was carrying the divine promise of God. So you may be carrying something divine on the inside. It may be natural, nothing outside on the natural. You may be just looking everything normal, everything just as a normal person. But there's something supernatural God has placed in your life. And I believe that today I come to say that your dreams will be fulfilled. This is your season. This is your time. This is the time that God's going to fulfill some of your supernatural dreams, the miraculous things that He's purposed in your life. Because what God has spoken, He will come to pass. If He said it, He will do it. If He spoke it, it will come to pass. God does not go halfway. When He gives a promise, He sets a divine schedule for its fulfillment. Because the Bible says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. When you feel like nothing is happening, God is working behind the scenes. See, when you prayed, when you trusted God, God is working on your behalf. God is working on your behalf. He's working on the behalf of this church. You may not see it, but God is working on your behalf. What God speaks will always come to pass. Heaven does not give up empty declaration. The timing may not match your expectation, and the process may feel slow, but the outcome is guaranteed. Mary did not have to force the promise to grow. She simply had to carry it and trust God's timing. So can you as well. So believe the timing. God has a timing for your season. He has a timing that your promise can be fulfilled in your life. Sometimes when the situation looks bleak and empty and impossible, you might face delays, obstacles, and moments of doubt. What's impossible circumstances? God's word will always be fulfilled, no matter how difficult or how impossible the situation might be in your life. God knows exactly how to bring your vision to life. He knows the right connection, the right open doors, the right opportunities, even the right struggles that will shape you into your destiny. Nothing is wasted in God's timing. Every season, waiting, growing, stretching, trusting God prepares you for the fulfillment of the vision that God has purposed in your life. You have to speak that vision. You have to call that promise to pass. You have to believe. You have to trust God. Remember I said to you that Lazarus was dead 4 days. And Jesus said 4 times that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So every day you must remind yourself, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. You must speak life in that dead situation. The dreams that God has given you, the calling that God has given you, it seems maybe dead and maybe barren, but God wants to resurrect it because he is the resurrection and he is the life. Believe him that he's going to do a new work in your life. Just as Jesus was born at the perfect time, your promise will arrive at the time God has ordained. Hold on to the vision. Oh, even when you cannot see progress, trust God in his faithfulness. Believe that he has spoken over your life will surely come to pass. The vision is for appointed time. The time is soon. The time is coming. You must say, Lord, I believe in this vision. I believe that your vision for my life, it shall come to pass. We see that the fourth thing, Mary, she believed in the vision that the angel of the Lord said to her. She said that she believed in that vision. She said, let it be unto me according to your word. When the angel said you're going to have a child, she said, let it be to me according to your word. Do you know what actually Mary said? During the culture of that time, if a person had a child outside marriage, she would have been stoned to death. And Mary is saying, let it be according to your word, even if it means death. I trust in your plan. I trust in your purpose. I trust in your vision. I trust in the things that you have spoken in my life. So we must lay some things down and believe that God is going to do what he purposed in our life. Because without faith, what is impossible to please God? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is why the vision that God has given you, the purpose that God has given you, you must hold on to the vision. You must believe the vision. You must see the vision. Although you cannot see in the natural eye, you must see in the spiritual eye. I see this vision. I see this purpose. I see this calling. I see the destination. I see healing. I see deliverance. I see breakthrough. I see prosperity. I see your blessings in my life, even when you have nothing. This is why we must take God at his word and start believing in the promises of God that he's purposed in your life. Even if you cannot see nothing, you must say, Lord, if you've given me this word, I believe that you're going to do fulfill it in my life. I believe it. I trust in that word. I hold on to that word. Even Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Even if you do not have them, you must believe in your heart, believe in your mind, believe in your speech. I believe that God is going to do a new work in my life. And I believe that his promise for my life will come to pass. Every day you need to speak in this church. Speak the power of God. Speak healing. Speak deliverance. Speak the power of His presence in our lives. We must see the power of God be manifested. We must see the healing. We must see the deliverance. And we have to see the power of God be manifested in your life as never before. You have to see it. You have to see it. You have to believe it. You have to walk in the things that God has purposed in your life. God wants you to receive His word in your heart, not just your mind. When His word takes root inside of you, it produces strength, confidence, and hope. Faith grows when you meditate on what God said rather than what you're seeing. If God said, "You see, I'm going to bless you with a house," you must believe that God's going to bless you with a house. You must believe, you must see that house. Even if you see nothing, you must believe in the vision, in the purpose that God has given to you. Hold on to that promise. Hold on to that vision. If He promised healing, promised deliverance, whatever He promised in your life, you need to hold on and believe. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Because one day when we pass on from this earth, there's no need to believe. As long as you and I got breath, we must believe when the situation seems impossible. When the situation seems bleak, and God wants to remind us, greater than any promise, greater than any difficulty, greater than any circumstances, He is the greatest. So today, you hold on to the Word of God. Take the Word of God and believe, run with the Word that God has given to you. Run with it. Run with the vision that God has purposed in your life. Believe it. Start walking in faith. Start walking in victory. See the healing. See the deliverance. See the prosperity. See what God has purposed in your life. What is impossible with you is not a barrier to God. Do you know that? What is impossible for me is not a barrier to God. It's an opportunity for Him to show His power. And that is why He brings you in places where it's impossible, so that He can show up. If you have everything, you don't need God to show up. That is why He puts you and me in difficult spots and difficult places, so that His power can be demonstrated, that His glory can be manifested in our lives. We must say like Mary, "Lord, I believe, let it be according to Your word. I believe Your word. I run with Your word. I speak Your word. I declare Your word." And you know what you can say? It's like meditating on the word of God. You know, I know every one of you can meditate. Do you know that? And you maybe ask me, how do I know that? Because when the opposite of meditation is worry. So imagine going through a crisis, imagine going through a situation, you all the time, what you're doing? You're thinking about that worry. The same worry, the same power that God has given you, you can turn it for your good. I've learned something recently, and I keep on saying it to myself, and every time I'm walking and I think about trying to say something negative, I learned it. I said, "Mind, I command you to love the Lord. Body, I command you to love the Lord. Soul, I command you to love the Lord." See, we need to speak to ourselves and believe in our hearts that God has spoken. We need to purpose God. We need to say to ourselves, because we dictate to ourselves. So when you, instead of worrying, meditate on the promises of God. God said, "I'm going to be healed. I can't see any symptoms of healing, but I trust Your word, Lord Jesus, that I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be set free." You keep on meditating. Keep on reading the word. Keep on studying the word. Keep on applying the word of God to yourself and see the power of God be manifested. As I said, I shared my testimony that I used to suffer from asthma for about a few years. And I used to take the pump 4 or 5 times a day. And one day while I was in Frimley, I was reading John chapter 5. To read the chapter, it takes about 5 minutes. But in that particular day, I read the chapter for 10 hours. I kept on reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and reading the same thing over and over and over again. So this is why you need to program your mind on the Word of God. Program your mind. Program your. Don't look at the asthma. Don't look at how you feel. Don't look at the pump. Don't look at all these things. Look to God. That same night, Jesus appeared in the dream and said, "What do you want?" I said, "Lord, I want to be healed. And today I don't have asthma." Even after that, I was involved in the fire. And nothing even happened to me. Do you know that? No asthma as well. That is the power of Jesus. That is the power of God. So what I'm trying to say to you, you need to program your mind. Take your mind and say, "God, I believe." Use that doubting mind, that worrying mind, that troubled mind. Say, "Lord, I command you, mind. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This mind belongs to Jesus, and this is what the Word of God say. By your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed." Say the whole day. Say, keep on speaking to yourself. Speak on speaking the Word of God, and seeing the power of God being manifested in your life, and you'll see the glory and the presence of God be manifested as never before. So we must say, "Lord, I must believe. I must believe. I must believe in the promise that God has purposed in your life." The next thing, God will connect you with people with the same carry of the same vision. God will connect you with the people of the same vision. Remember when Mary received the news that she was going to give birth? God did not leave her to walk around that calling alone. Instead, he guided her to Elizabeth. Another woman was experiencing a miraculous move of God. Elizabeth was older. She carried a vision that aligned with Mary's vision. She was pregnant with John the Baptist, the forerunner who prepared the way for the Savior Mary was carrying. So both these women had a divine connection. We find that both these women had something supernatural. Both these women were related to each other. Both these women walking through seasons that required extraordinary faith. Their connection was not accidental, it was divine. Mary knew, God knew Mary needed someone who would understand the weight of her calling. Someone would support her, speak life into her, celebrate what God was doing in her life. In the same way, God will connect you with people of the same vision. He knows that you cannot fulfill the vision on yourself. The dreams you have placed inside of you, the dreams and the purposes and the calling that he has placed inside of you, he will align people to celebrate that calling that he has purposed in your life. These are people who will not doubt your calling or look down upon you. They will encourage you in your week, support you when you feel stuck, celebrate what God is doing in your life. They celebrate in spiritual assignments because they are walking in themselves. They know the power of God. They have the same journey, the same heart, the same spirit, and the same desire to fulfill God's purpose. So when you come, we see that Mary, God connected Mary, both carrying children. One was the forerunner, one was the Savior. Both were related to each other. Both had the same spirit. So God, when God brings people, he'll bring people of like-mindedness where we can connect easily with people. So the vision that God will give in this ministry, he'll bring people to support who carry the same vision. And his name will be glorified. We find just as Elizabeth's baby leaped in the womb when Mary arrived, God will send people whose spirits will respond when to the vision inside of you. You will feel a connection that goes beyond personality or interest. It is a connection rooted with divine purpose that God alone has put in that person's life. You are not meant to walk alone. God bring partners, mentors, friends, spiritual companionship will share the vision, the calling to support you and help you in this journey that God has placed in your life. So God is bringing people to help you in this journey. He's bringing people in your life to support you, to help you in the walk with you. It's not to be a Christian at this time is not always easy. I know for a fact it's not always easy. It is complicated. It is difficult sometimes. It's hard because Jesus said the road that leads to heaven is it's narrow, it's difficult, it's lonely sometimes. People do not fully understand you, the people of the world. But it draws you closer and closer to Him. But in saying that, God will connect people to celebrate the vision that He purposed in your life. So this season, what the vision that God has placed in your life, you need to believe the vision. God will empower you to carry that vision. You have to say God yes to the vision and believe that He's promised for your life it will come to pass. And He'll also bring people to support you in the vision that God has purposed for you as an individual person. Let's pray this morning. This morning God has chosen you, and you are special and you are unique, and He's given you a purpose and He's given you a task, and that task will be fulfilled with His power and with His glory. God wants you to work with Him by believing in the vision that He purposed in your life. Some of you, your dreams have been faded away a few years ago. But God wants to remind you this morning. That He is the resurrection and He is the life. What He has spoken in your life is going to come to pass. And I believe that this is the season of the supernatural. That God wants to do supernaturally things in your life. He will bring people in your life to celebrate what He purposed in your life. He asks of you to hold on to the vision. Believe the vision that God placed in your life. Lift up that vision to Him today. And today, maybe I want you to just stand. And if God has placed a vision in your life, just lift your hands to God and just speak out your vision to God. Just open your vision. Let's stand this morning. And let's open our hearts and say, lift our hands and say, God, You have spoken the vision in my life. I have not seen it being manifested. I want Your vision and Your purpose and Your calling to be manifested in my life. Lord, just open your heart. Maybe there's a vision that God has purposed in your life. Dreams that have not come to pass in your life. Open your heart to God and say, God, let this vision come to pass. Let this purpose come to pass. Let Your calling come to pass. Let Your will be fulfilled in my life, O God. Lord, I need Your help. I need Your power. I need Your strength. I need You to guide me to people that will help celebrate in the vision that You purpose in my life. Say, God, I need You today, Lord Jesus. I need You, Lord Jesus. Even as You fulfill this vision in Mary's life, fulfill the vision of God in my life, O God. Fulfill it in the name of Jesus. Fulfill it in the name of Jesus. Fulfill that vision. Fulfill that purpose, O God. Fulfill that plan in my life, O God. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. You know the hearts of the people, O God. You know the vision You have placed in their lives, O God. You have placed vision. You have placed purpose, O God. You have placed uniqueness, O God. You have handpicked Your people, O God. You have placed Your hand upon them, O God. And today we pray that You remind them, O God, that they are special, O God, that they are unique, O God, and that You have not forgotten about them, O God. Lord, we pray that if You have not put them aside, O God, and I pray that today, Father, that You have Your hand upon them all these years, Lord Jesus, and today we pray that Your hand will be upon their lives, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that the vision that You have purposed in their lives, it will be resurrected in the name of Jesus, because You are the resurrection and You are the life, O God, and I pray that You resurrect that vision in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'll empower them to carry out this vision, because it is not our power, it's not our strength, but it's Your power, Your divine power, Lord Jesus, that will come upon them, O God, even to fulfill and carry the vision that You purpose in their life, just like Mary, Lord Jesus. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, that the glory of God and the power of God and the vision will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Some have been waiting for years and months and days, O God, and I pray, Lord Jesus, the vision is for appointed time. It shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray, even as Mary had to wait 9 months, we pray that the vision that You purposed in their life, it shall be manifested in the physical realm. I call it forth as though it were not to God in the name of Jesus. I speak it forth in the name of Jesus. I call it forth in the name of Jesus. I pray it will be manifested in the supernatural, manifested in the name of Jesus, and I pray that your glory will just be revealed and your power be revealed in the name of Jesus. Let your power flow, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Father, let them believe again, Lord Jesus. Let them have hope again, Lord Jesus. Let them trust again, Lord Jesus, where we doubted you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us, O God, and I pray, let faith arise, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray that you bring connection, divine connection, O God, connected us with the right people, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Father, that your presence and your glory and your power will just be revealed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray that your presence will just be upon their lives, and we thank you for the vision, even for this church, which shall be come to pass in the name of Jesus. The vision, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. It shall be manifested in the physical realm, and I pray that your glory and your presence will just rest upon the vision of this church. Bless this ministry, Lord Jesus, and bless your people, Lord Jesus, and touch your people, Lord Jesus, and let your glory and your presence and your power be manifested, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. With God, nothing is impossible with you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that your glory, your presence, and your power will be manifested, O God. And let your glory be revealed in the name of Jesus. And let your power come upon them in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you that you'll bless this congregation and bless your people, Lord Jesus. Whatever they're going through, see them through, Lord Jesus. So let there be supernatural things that happen during this Christmas. Let supernatural, let them have a visitation of you, Lord Jesus. Let them have an experience with you. Let them have an encounter with you. Let them open your spiritual eyes, open their spiritual ear, open their hearts, O God, to the divine, Lord Jesus, to the miraculous, O God, to the supernatural. And I pray that your presence over them and to bless them now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be with them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.